Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I am your host, Kathy Cloete's guest, and welcome to the newly reformatted Keeping It Human Improvised Marketing Show. That's a mouthful. We reformatted after 3 years, and the focus still remains the same. We're going to bring you great stories, but we're going to bring it from people who come from different worlds. So it won't just be marketing practitioners, and it won't just be speakers and authors. It'll be people from the improv world. It'll be people from the stage. It'll be all kinds, because I think stories live lots of places, and no matter where those practitioners practice, I think we can learn a lot from them. So we're going to blend the theater world that I come from as well as the business stage world that I come from. So again, I'm Kathy Cloete's guest, founder of Keeping It Human, and I am nestled in the heart of Silicon Valley, where it's gorgeous. I hope it's gorgeous wherever the heck you are. It's like the first really sunny day we've had in a long time, because we're in drought. We've been in drought for 2 years. We've had tons of rain and we've needed it, but it's so great to see the sun. So most days we air Thursdays at 3:30 p.m., but this is a special time. We've got a special guest. And as always, our goal is to humanize storytelling, and we help teams do that, tell their most important stories to the world in a way that connects, and that's human. And often, humor is part of that, because humor is human. As always, this is a jargon monoxide poisoning-free zone, so we don't like to use jargon or any of those non-human words. And thanks so much for all your emails and for your comments. I completely appreciate it. You can also leave a comment on the blog. Typically, we have this posted the next day, so by tomorrow morning, this episode will be up on the blog. And thank you again for all your suggestions on what you want to hear. So let's jump on into it. Oh, and before I do, one more thing, just a reminder that you can sign up for the newsletter if you want to get updates on my book. Now, the book is scheduled to be June, July. We're on track so far, and I'm really excited about it. So if you want updates on that, go ahead and get on there, and I'll provide little updates here and there on the blog. So let's jump on into it. Let's talk about finding your message in the messy. And we've got an amazing guest today. So I'm going to just say one thing about her. This is a woman who has number one books on Amazon. This is a woman who started her own business, who was a mom with young kids, running a business, and got a cancer diagnosis in the middle of this, and found a way to pick up the pieces, figure out her message in the midst of a mess. And I think we can always turn our mess into our message. And she is somebody who did it. So before I bring her on, we're going to be talking to the wonderful Felicia Slattery. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's on a mission to motivate, inspire, and train experts, smart business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs, and I think she's got the street cred to do it with what she's been through. She's the author on Amazon, number one best-selling book, Kill the Elevator Speech. I like that. I don't like non-human communication. I don't think you do either. And the author of 21 Ways to Make Money Speaking, and she speaks to audiences about communication, speaking, and being a successful entrepreneur in spite of everything life can throw at you. So let's bring her on here. Felicia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I am super excited because I always love talking to people who have an amazing story. And when life just can't throw enough at you, you find a way to go, you know what? That's it. I'm going to make it work. And so you, to me, are just a living, breathing, you know, testament to just the power of conviction and making your mission out of the mess and finding a way to be better. So let's jump in there, because I want to hear your story from you, and maybe start us right there as you know, in the thick of oh, my God, the floor just dropped out of my life.
Right. Well, it's funny you said living, breathing, because I was diagnosed with non-smoking related lung cancer on September 21st, 2012. And at that point, I had been in business. I started my business in 2006, and things were going great. And then suddenly they weren't. And so I got on. It was a shock because it's non-smoking related. I'd never smoked. I didn't have any risk factors or anything like that. And I remember I had been sick for a while. I had pneumonia earlier in the year, and it never really fully resolved, and I kept going for different x-rays, and then I went for a CAT scan, and, you know, all these things were inconclusive. And so they finally, you know, I had surgery, and that doctor, after the first surgery, could not wait to call me back and say, it's fine, there's no worries, it's great, but you do have to go see another doctor because they need to take care of, you know, this mass we found. And the second doctor was the one who wouldn't talk to me on the phone. And you know, when the doctor doesn't talk to you on the phone, it's not going to be good news. Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And they want you. And they wanted me to bring somebody. Oh, okay. So I just say it on the phone. So anyway,
yeah.
They wanted me to bring somebody. I brought my husband, and there we were sitting in the room, and boom, they dropped the bomb. And in that moment, honestly, I felt relief because it was like, well, finally, now we know what has been going on all these months and months. And I got on what I call the cancer train. Anybody who's ever been diagnosed with cancer, you know what happens next is like test after test after test after test after test, and they want to see, did it spread, and if it didn't, how far, and, you know, they want to do bone tests and blood tests, and on and on and on it goes, and then, you know, they finally figure out what it is exactly and what the stage is, and, you know, then it's like, all right, well, this is how, you know, this is how one doctor would handle it, and then this is how a different doctor would handle it, and, you know, and then they're talking about how long you might have to live, and, like, it's a scary, scary time. I had one doctor, most of them were really great, but one guy told me that I had, I was 41, 42 at the time. I had, like, maybe I would be, I had 60% chance, 65% chance of being alive in 5 years. And that was scary. And, you know, the other numbers that I had saw and heard were much, much higher than that. So I'm 4 years in, still here and still doing great. And I never fired that dude, never talked to him again. But it's scary, right? Like, you're out. I want the people who go, you're going to be alive, no worries. That's the people I want. Anyway, so that's who I found and was cured, 100% cured with surgery 3 weeks later. It was great.
Wow. And how do you, because, you know, I, you know, there but for the grace of God go any of us. I mean, you know, my
mm-hmm.
mom's going through that right now. And how did you, it is such an emotional roller coaster. I can only imagine, I've only seen it through, you know, my loved ones. And now how did you, I mean, your head's swirling, I'm sure, at that point. I mean, your head is spinning with all these different
mm-hmm.
things. How do you then find, after all this, or in the thick of it, how do you find, you know, your anchor point to say, you know what, okay, this is an emotional roller coaster. I got through it, at least for now. How do I then go back and clarify what I meant to do? How do you use that energy as fuel for your business?
Well, you know, because of the disease I had, they removed a part of my lung, big part of my lung, and I couldn't speak a literal sentence. I could not speak without stopping in the middle, taking a breath, and coughing every
wow.
sentence. And for somebody who has made my entire career around speaking, that was scary. And I kept saying, are you sure I'm going to be able to talk again? Because if not, I got to figure out plan B. And the doctors kept saying, we're sure, we're sure, we're sure. And so, what brought it back? Here's some disgusting irony. My husband is a personal trainer, and I kind of rebel against that a little bit. But guess what they said would bring it back? Cardio. Guess what works? Cardio. Really?
Yeah.
Thanks. So, you know, just really working out my lungs and making them, you know, bringing in a lot of air and expelling a lot of air, and that made me be able to speak again. But it took about 3 months. And during that 3 months, I had a lot of quiet moments alone. I didn't work for those 3 months at all. I focused fully on my health, which was a disaster for my business, but was great for my health. So, but anyway, I did a lot of praying, a lot of soul searching. And I remember one night in particular, I didn't even turn my computer on for 3 months. But I was checking through my, you know, through my smartphone. I was checking, you know, email messages and Facebook and keeping, you know, family and friends updated on Facebook and that kind of thing. So I wasn't like totally detached from the world. But one night in particular, I remember praying, like, if speaking isn't the thing you want me to do, you know, like, can you give me a sign of something you want me to do? And that next morning, I had an email in my inbox. Now, apparently at some point in that previous 6 years, I had hit one of those walls that a lot of entrepreneurs with new businesses hit, where you just want to throw up your hands and go, oh, screw it, I'm just going to go get a job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and then and you're like, go searching the job board. So I must have put my email address in there, and I must have searched for stuff around communication that I know how to do, and speaking and things like that. And then promptly forgot about it and went about my merry life. Well, suddenly I had a message in my inbox from one of these career sites, and it said such and such company is interested in you. And I was like, what is that about? And I clicked on it, and sure enough, it was a description. And the interesting thing was, it was a description of the exact work that I've been doing since I started my business, writing newsletters, giving speeches, coaching people to give speeches, just doing it for this company. And I thought, wow, well, that's amazing. All right, well, message received. Keep doing the same thing. Maybe I should do it as a job. So there was like literally two butt fly to this thing to send whatever automated thing they had in place. And I did that, and I said, all right, well, if this, you know, if I hear back from this one little, you know, two-click thing, then I know that this is kind of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I heard back, and they said, send us your resume. And I was like, what resume? I work for myself. So I, you know, put together a little resume real quick and sent it off. And then I never heard anything, but that for me was enough validation, like, okay, you know, I asked for a sign, I got a sign. And so I said, I'm going to keep moving forward. And so I finished my last physical therapy appointment in December, and in January I was back on stage again and, speaking to audiences and groups sharing about my books and the information that, you know, that I've had out there on the internet. And really what I almost couldn't stop it if I wanted to, unless I killed all my websites. And even with that, I still couldn't, because I have links to my stuff and my name has been out there because I worked so hard since the beginning of my business to do interviews like this on Blog Talk Radio and you know, podcast interviews and videos on YouTube and all these places. And so people were still finding me. So I was just, you know, somebody sent a note and said, hey, can you come and speak to our group? We saw your new book, 21 Ways to Make Money. Can you come and speak to our group about that? Sure I can. And I just, you know, responded to the need that was there. And, was lucky enough to have built that, had some fantastic coaches and worked with some great people who said, build your business and just continue to keep building, build those links that come back into your website, and people will keep searching you out. And that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. And what, as you said, what irony, because here you are, you know, you lose lung capacity. Obviously, you've had a removal of a mass, and now you're a speaker. And, you know, how soon did you, afterwards, I'm curious, how soon did you use that story, start telling this story in your speaking, and how did it change the way you identified your message? So did it change the focus of your business? Did it change the way you told your story? How did you use that? And how soon through that were you maybe willing to kind of share maybe some of that vulnerability?
Well, because I've been a speech teacher for decades, I know that sharing vulnerability is what makes us human on stage and, by the way, face-to-face, right, or on video, wherever. That, like, sharing that vulnerability is what makes other people want to connect with us. And, you know, interestingly, my cancer diagnosis was not the scariest and most difficult health thing that I had ever been through. So I had almost died in childbirth with my now 11-year-old daughter, and I was telling that story from stage. And I finally was like, well, how many times is a person almost going to die? So I stopped telling that story. So really, for me, just a shift in one story to another one. And actually, more people can relate to having cancer than can relate to almost dying in childbirth with a rare disease, right? So it actually made me more relatable and made my story more relatable. And for me, because it was nowhere near as difficult or as painful as what I, like physically painful as what I went through before. I was on some seriously awesome drugs this time around, so I was not in hardly any pain at all. They were great. And so it was easy for me to go through the physical process relatively speaking. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it for a fun thing on a Saturday night, but, like, you know, comparatively, it
right.
was, you know, it was like, all right, you know, I'm going to have surgery and this is going to happen and then there's going to be physical therapy and all right. So, I mean, I knew what to expect and it was okay. So it wasn't like all of a sudden I found myself crying on stage unexpectedly, right? I knew because I had been through that previously with a previous story. So, you know, it's interesting. People want me to have done something different in my business or they want something to have changed because, well, you had cancer before and you never had cancer, you know, before that, but then you did. So something must have changed. Nothing really changed for me other than I got more clear and more focused instead of like, well, maybe I'll go back and teach college again or
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll do something different again. Like I was very clear after that. This is my
and
path.
Tell us how.
This is the path.
Well, tell us how.
Fail.
Like, well, and how did, because I'm curious, did it clarify your maybe your market or your approach or the kind of clients you took? Did it sort of shape that? I'm curious if that sort of maybe, you know, because you're a pretty driven person. I think you were already an entrepreneur. That didn't make you entrepreneurial, clearly. I'm
right.
just curious if that, if how that might have shaped anything for you.
I think, you know, if you would have asked me before, I would have said I was serious and focused, and anybody who knew me would have said so. I'll tell you, I didn't start making serious money until after my disease was cured and I was back working full time. And I think the reason for that was because I got very clear on not only me sharing my message and my story, but listening to the message and story of the people who are coming to me and finding, knowing what that need, what their need was based on listening to them and then providing products, services, templates, tools, whatever, to fill that need very specifically. And that's what has made for me the biggest difference is paying more attention to other people's stories because I've always been good at telling my stories because that's what I taught. That's how I came up in the world. I mean, literally, since I was a teenager, I was taught, here's how you tell a story on stage. So for me, that's just something that I do. It wasn't until I stopped and said, oh, wait, I'm going to listen to these numbers of, you know, these 30,000 subscribers, fans, followers, friends, whatever, right? I'm going to pay attention to them more and listen to their stories more and deliver what they're saying that they want, not what I think that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made a big difference for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm curious because you and I both have talked about this before. We're both storytellers and anybody who does a lot of speaking, you know, we're you don't have to convince us twice about the power of vulnerability. We already know that, and that's something that we both
mm-hmm.
practice. And I'm curious, in your process, I mean, what advice would you give people who've been through something like this and you know, obviously need to wait till they're through it to be able to kind of be in control of the story rather than the story controlling them? But
yep.
But what advice would you give about that balance of vulnerability and how much do you share? When do you share? The right context for sharing? Because you and I both know that so much of it is really context relevant.
Mm-hmm. It is. And so, you know, it's a matter of looking at each situation and being able to take the cues of each situation and with each relationship. It's certainly not something that I would necessarily bring up in a first conversation with somebody. Hi, how are you? How are you? You know,
right.
We're at a networking meeting. I survived cancer. How about you? Like, what? You know, like that.
Right.
There are some people who don't understand those kind of boundaries and, you know, and so forth. But I think that and in some cases, it may not come up because it may not be relevant to that particular relationship or that, you know, particular something that's happening, you know, in that moment. But for others, maybe it is something that, you know, that I'm willing to go there and maybe even sooner than I might normally otherwise because perhaps that person has opened up to me or that person has said that they had something in their life that was going on. Or, you know, sometimes in business you'll hear, like, somebody will say, like, this happened with one of my clients this week, and it was very clear to me he did not want to tell me more. He said, I had a health issue come up, and, you know, so I wasn't able to focus on our stuff. And then he wanted to keep moving and not talk about it. So I was not going to press him. He knows my story. He's heard, you know, he's asked me questions
mm-hmm.
in the past about it. But it was very clear from his verbal and nonverbal cues, this is not something I'm comfortable talking about today. I just wanted you to know this is what's happening, and so we're going to move forward. So it's being able to pay attention to those verbal and nonverbal cues from someone. Do they want to share it? And do they want to hear your stuff? So, you know, just being attuned to that, and I think, really the being human part, it's like pay attention to the humanness of the other person, because some people may never be able to ready to hear that. Right. You know, if you're on stage, absolutely share your vulnerable moment. Look at the time limit that you have. Look at the purpose of your presentation and why you're there. Look at why were you hired to be there? And then judge how long you should share and what details you should share from that story. Because, you know, I mentioned that I almost died in childbirth. That's a 7.5-minute story that I tell on stage that I just said in one sentence in 5 seconds here. Right? So, because it doesn't matter for our conversation that we're having today, it would matter, you know, in other speeches. So it's just really paying attention to the cues that you're getting from one person in a one-to-one interpersonal situation, or realizing and analyzing yourself, and sometimes even in the moment, but, you know, if you're on stage or something like that, it's, you know, like, think, why am I here? Why do they bring me in? And what does this story, does this illustrate an example of something, or am I just telling it because I feel like telling a story, and somebody, you know, Kathy and Felicia said we should tell a story. You want to pay attention to that.
Right. And it seems to me, you know, and we're talking about public speaking, and of course, both of us as writers, too. I mean, to me, it's so much more than that, because if you're writing a blog post and there's a relevant point you're making, like if there's a point you're making about what you learned from the cancer, like what did it do for your life? Maybe it reconnected you with people that you loved, and maybe it slowed you down and told you to focus more on yourself and give self-care. Like if there's a bigger message out of that that's relevant to what you're talking about, you know, obviously, I think then it's okay, because we're not focused on the cancer, and we're not focused on the diagnosis, and we're not focused on the scary part of it. We're focused on, all right, this is what it taught me. And you may not have cancer per se, but everybody has crap in their life. So for me, it was cancer. Exactly. Whatever crap you're going through, it may be not cancer, and you hope it isn't, but whatever that is for you, maybe when you're through it, there is a learning lesson. And what can you extract from that? What did it teach you? And I think that's where when I talk about stuff that's vulnerable, I try to connect it to something that people can relate to, or here's what it taught me. It taught me to slow down, or to open up, or to take the emotional armor down, or whatever that was for you. And I think everybody has their own trials, their own sort of, you know, tribulations that they got to go through.
Exactly. You know, that's what I call making the turn. So anytime you tell a personal story, something that happened to you, you share the lesson that you learned, and then you make the turn away from you and toward your audience. So you know, for me, what happened in my situation was I was validated that, you know, it takes a village, because my parents came in, you know, came over, and they took care of my husband and my kids while I was sick. And yes, my husband needs taken care of, because God forbid he has to cook for himself. So, you know, like, you know, they came in and handled that. And my husband, because I wasn't working, I mean, he had to step it up. You know, he has his own business, too. So he had to step it up, and he was working more hours, which meant that my parents were picking up the kids and dropping them off at school and that kind of thing. So, you know, his parents came in. They helped. I mean, my sister, I mean, we had, you know, our neighbors, I mean, family, friends. That it takes a village was the validation for me that, you know, you build your support. You build your support network before you need it, and they'll be there for you when you do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so then I can make that turn. So you don't know what's going to happen in your life, but we do know something's going to happen in our lives. So build your support network before you need it, so that when the moment comes that you do need it, you know that they'll be there for you, and they'll rally around you. So there's a lesson, right? There could be, there could have been any other numbers of lessons. But if you don't make that turn, then to the people that you're talking to, it feels like, well, that was a crappy story. Like, I'm stuck with that happened to that person. Like, that's too bad for you. But, you know, when you turn around and you make it personal to them, that's really where the real value in the connection with the other person is.
I love it that you call it, and we say the same thing, I love that you call it make the turn. So everybody, make the turn. As you're listening to this, think about, you know, the lessons that you've gone through, the pain, and make the turn in your own stories to make sure that you're connecting it back, absolutely, to the audience, because we're not there to have them be voyeurs in our journey of pain. It's here's what it taught me and made me better, or clarified for me, or made me more committed to my message, or made me realize, to your point, that it's okay to ask for help, or whatever that is. And I love that you call it making the turn, because I think that's where stories sometimes they careen a little bit.
Yeah.
we get to make the turn. We're just like, no, make the turn.
Don't drive off the cliff. Just make the turn. And
Back up. Make the turn.
That's right.
Well, what's one thing? Exactly. What's one thing that people can do easily that you would suggest that, like today, to communicate with a little bit more effective vulnerability? What's one quick thing that maybe people could do besides make the turn? Because that's a really important lesson. That's a big one.
Yeah, you know, I think back to things that happened in your life. I call them before and after moments. So before in your life, you were, you know, moving along and doing this thing, and then this thing happened. And then you have after that, right? So for me, it was before I was diagnosed with cancer, and then after. So what about in your – and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing or a sad thing that happened in your life. I mean, you know, before you were married and then after you were married, right? So think about before that moment, that before and after moment in your life, that moment has a story in there. So just reflect on some of those before-after times in your life and – think about, all right, so that happened to me. What could I share that would be, you know, what did I realize from that moment, whether in the moment or later reflecting on it, that might be of value to other people? And that's where you start to learn how to make that turn. And it could be, like, it could be something, it could be fun, it could be funny, it could be light, or it could be heavier or, you know, scary or whatever. But those before and after moments are the moments where the stories are born that others can relate to.
I agree. Well said. And where can people it always goes by so fast when I'm talking to you. There's certain people that are just so much fun to talk to, and I always feel like, no way, there's only a couple minutes left. So where can people find you, Felicia?
I am one of the easiest people in the world to find. I don't know why, but my 8th grade graduation class, apparently they had a reunion, 8th grade, who does that? Anyway, and I had been in business at that point for years, and somebody said, and I found out about this graduate or this reunion thing, and somebody said, well, we couldn't find you. I said, have you heard of Google? So Google Felicia Slattery. I'm at Felicia Slattery on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, on Quora, on Listly, I mean, whatever. Wherever you want to be, that's where I am. Instagram, Snapchat, I'm Felicia Slattery everywhere. You can go to FeliciaSlattery.com/blog, read about whatever I happen to be writing about that time. I've been blogging since 2006, so have a cup of coffee and enjoy.
Awesome. My dear, thank you so much. Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you so much for having me. You're right, the time always does go fast when you and I talk. We're going to have to hang out sometime, like in real life.
It does. We're going to have you back, I promise. You come back?
Yes, for sure. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Such great stuff. It goes by way too fast. She made some really amazing points, and I love that. Focus on the U-turn. This is really important. Also, I agree. I think look for the times in your life that, you know, were painful. You're through the pain. What can you teach somebody else about it? How can you inspire, educate, help somebody else? When you can pay that forward, I think those are great shareable moments to help you make the turn. So Felicia Slattery, I love it. It's FeliciaSlattery.com. You can find me at KeepingItHuman.com. She is at Felicia, is her Twitter handle is at Felicia Slattery. I love that she's consistent on everything, so she's easy to find. You can find me at Kathy Cloates Guest. All right, everybody, you know what I'm going to say? It's about keeping it human. I'm going to keep it human, so you keep it human out there, too. We're going to have next month Brian Carter and Brian Kramer on the show telling their stories. So, all right, everybody, we're going to see you next month. Happy Easter if you celebrate it. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.